The following content is provided under a Creative Commons license. Your support will help MIT OpenCourseWare continue to offer high-quality educational resources for free. To make a donation or view additional materials from hundreds of MIT courses, visit MIT OpenCourseWare at ocw.mit.edu.
Today is pretty much just set aside for brainstorming, so we're probably going to do about an hour of that, just to like throw the ideas that people already have in their heads about what could be with the problem space that we're working on. I mean, this whole preparing people to deal with violence and with folks suffering from mental illness, and you know, that's a whole bunch of different things that people might be interested in working on. And the idea is that hopefully if we can get this all out, then we can spend next half hour and frankly the rest of this week trying to figure out who's in which team, who's collaborating on similar topics and who's interested in working together. And did anyone actually manage to get through any of the readings that I had put up? Okay, right. So there's a few things in there. I realized there wasn't a whole lot of time to read them. And there's probably more stuff up there to read than needs to be necessarily, but it's all there as resources. Any ideas that people thought might be interesting to work on?
So one of the basic issues I heard from the presentation and the papers was communication. Mm-hmm. So I guess this is not a brainstorming simulation, but the real world system would be communication between the psychiatrist and the
patient.
Yes, the patient along with the psychiatrist with the person above them.
Psychiatrist patient communication.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are they called?
Patient?
Person. No, not the patient. Patient, psychiatrist, person.
Orderly?
Nurse?
What function do they have?
Give us more information. Our system is under constraint.
Everyone, psychiatrist, patient for now.
But I mean, you're not talking about psychiatrist, nurse, patient.
No, it's
psychiatrist, resident?
Sorry, maybe like nurse, patient, and then nurse reporting instance to
supervisors. So three levels.
Yes, that's the one.
So you have a supervisor, you have a nurse.
Yes, sorry guys.
And you have the patient. That, those kinds of like reporting up, reporting down.
Okay. Great.
All right.
So I have a couple of ideas. One of them was maybe an idea like you have there's a patient and there's two doctors, psychiatrists. Mm-hmm. And so one psychiatrist is trying to calm the patient, while the other is doing the opposite and trying to make this patient as angry as possible. So the way I was thinking is, with the one that makes you, the psychiatrist is trying to enrage the patient. That's kind of training in what not to say, mm-hmm. while the patient's or the doctor is trying to calm him down.
So by showing what was the worst possible way to
get.
Okay, so I'm going to call that good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. And then another idea I had, which I thought of with Bastion yesterday, was maybe have a team of psychiatrists working with one patient, but interlaced in one of the psychiatrists is like a saboteur trying to enrage the patient.
I remember the target audience is going to be
Saboteur and a group of psychiatrists.
Maybe there's an idea on the dynamic that we can play with. Okay, Jeremy.
So three quick things. One would be, I'm not exactly sure how this fits into a game, but simulating people who are delusional schizophrenic by either having every player have a separate audio track playing in their ear as they play, so there's voices speaking to them and they have different audio experiences, or having just one speaker that everyone can hear that is playing audio, so incorporating audio into the experience to simulate in some way the internal thought process and perhaps these delusional thoughts that the voice that tells you to go kill your mother and whatnot, which is a documented issue.
Now, this particular game doesn't have to be a board game, doesn't have to be a card game. You have a lot more flexibility on what you want to do. I would suggest steering away from doing anything that requires digital logic, MP3 players will be a perfect.
Right, exactly. So something like that. So that's the first idea. Second thing would be a board game where you're in charge of managing a ward, and it's just a logistical game, making sure that you don't leave anyone neglected or forget
Oh, that's anyone. Interesting. Okay, so yeah, leaving people.
So, you know, patients have their favorite nurse, you know, and they have sort of hidden issues to get to uncover and deal with. And if you leave something unattended and someone, you know, goes over, then they become violent. And so you're kind of trying to make sure. And then the third idea would be to have one player pay as the patient and to simulate their inability to communicate properly for whatever reason. The information of their own condition is hidden from the player. And so. Try to create a game experience that is genuinely frustrating because the player doesn't quite know what's wrong with them and can't articulate it properly, and the other players are in charge of finding it out, and create some sort of time constraint thing so it gets heated and like...
There are a bunch of improv games that are exactly that. It's like, I have something about me, but I can't tell you what it is.
But you know, the player doesn't even know that they can get really...
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the game where you have... I can't remember what it's called, but the one where you try to make the other person say a word, but you can't use a certain series of like keywords.
That's
totally
true.
I just wanted to say, on the simulating schizophrenia with audio tape, I've been part of RPGs which have done that well, so like live action role playing stuff, which did it really well. It actually works, so. I recommend that. It's actually quite
exploring great. That further.
Yeah, I mean, it's been tried in a setting which I've seen before and worked really well, so I think it could work out.
You can do a refinement on that idea.
I know one of the main things that he was talking about is like knowing what to do and like just having the like going through the process of like what happens when somebody does something. And so that brought to mind like D&D and how like you have to prepare before the encounter, and then in the encounter like you have certain actions that you can do, like calm through speech, calm through, you know, presenting some object or some idea or whatever, which I think would map pretty easily to the D&D space. And then you could also like, you know, you have certain abilities that are natural to your character, like you're very charismatic, which makes some things easier and such. I think that matters pretty well. So simplified D&D to handle interactions with patients.
So tabletop RPG style.
Right.
And the kind of things that you wanted to emphasize were things like preparation and sort of playing up your actual skills.
Right.
The things that you're good at.
Right. Exactly.
So natural skills and preparation.
So I kind of had an idea for a game that could potentially be a card game where the player who's playing as the patient and the player who's playing as the doctor are operating under different rules, and one of the main points of the game is that they're not actually aware of the other player's rules. So for instance, the patient could have certain goals which he's trying to achieve, but he is unaware which of these goals is like completely unreasonable to the doctor. And the game, the doctor has certain actions he can take and is unaware which of these are going to be threatening to the patient. And so there could be an instance where the patient actually believes the only way he is capable of winning the game is by using violence, and so that could be one of the end conditions.
Right. So sure. And then you kind of have to deduce that halfway through the game.
Yeah.
Going around again to Michelle?
I really like the idea that a psychiatrist has to really keep their composure when they're dealing with a violent person. Like, they can't raise their voice, they have to keep them a certain distance, and they can't seem upset for whatever reason. So a sort of a party game idea, you could have two people, basically one person would just have to be throwing insults at the other person, and the person who's receiving the insults would just have to stay calm the whole time and continue talking, which is really hard to do, even if you know it's coming at you.
So like, keep your cool. I mean, that could be a game where you're like literally insulting someone, or it could be a thing where you're playing a character with a certain amount of like composure points or something like that,
yeah.
And you know, you're sort of like playing actions to try to maintain those, and
different tactics to be able to increase those or decrease those.
Co-op type of game where you are a bunch of nurses trying to basically take care of the ward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot like Jeremy's Diner Dash style game,
mm-hmm.
except you have a limitation to how many you can actually do at once. So you will be forced to neglect one every so often.
One patient.
And some nurses will get sick and they'll have to leave the team.
Rather, you have limited resources.
Yes.
Not quite nearly enough to deal with every single person that's going to happen. Okay.
So the one thing that I kind of found interesting in like reading the stuff is that statistically, the amount of violence that happens like with mental patients is not actually like that different from the amount of violence that happens in the general population.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they talked about how like people going through this and like deciding to go into the profession might actually second guess themselves because they have this perception that there's more violence.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like incorporating something where you have life in the ward and life outside of it to just like, so you incorporate both the things where you're trying to deal with the patients, but you're also reinforcing this idea that like it's not like significantly more dangerous than real life is.
None of your patients stab you, then you get them both on the way home.
Yeah, like something like that. Like, you know, it's just life.
I mean, one thing that would be and you mentioned put it up. One thing that could be really attractive is that now broadens your audience to people who aren't just psychiatric residents.
Right.
So I like the idea of the patient and doctor having different roles, goals, triggers, etc. But I also like the idea of incorporating like an escalation and de-escalation
mm-hmm.
into the conflict between the two of them. So I feel like part of the thing which was really compelling about the role-playing scenario that they showed
mm-hmm.
was there was the sense in which the doctor can say things which can escalate or de-escalate the situation, like make it more or less likely that things will go in a bad way. And like one way which we could do, which that could be done impartially through roles, would be to have like hidden keywords which the patient responds to or what have you, and that kind of moves them into a different state, and then like transitioning between these two states changes the goals which the patient has, so they may be intent upon trying to get nurse's name, Dave, or
John.
Nurse John,
yeah.
but like, as they get de-escalated, then they just want to change their meds, but then as they get de-escalated from that, they may just want to go home, or
just
something like that.
Just coming up with the rules that model what an unreasonable patient to give up or what you're willing to give up. And actually putting somebody in the shoes of that is actually really useful to sort of think about what I can do as a doctor.
So there was this game I used to play with my family where like you're given a scenario and like a certain number of words that you can't use, but like you want someone to like guess that's essentially like it's like you choose random words and you have a scenario and like very similar to what you were saying where like certain keywords do certain things, but like you have to somehow create like the best story or the best like calm down like passage to read to the patient, and then like there's some arbitrator like the GM of the game that like decides like which of the three people that were playing like which one had the best story out of those. To sort of get you to like have to come up with something to deal with, like, you know, you need Nurse John right away. Best way to deal with that.
I mean, you could do a thing where you had to create a story out of a randomized collection of elements, maybe cards, you know, but then some number of those cards, specifically the other player, or maybe there's a game master player, specifically just saying that those internally that you're not supposed to be able to use those words, and there's some 20 questions type of way to be able to try to figure out what those cards are without confusing the language. So that would be like a doctor trying to figure out what they're dealing with, you know, while they're dealing with it. Yeah.
You can make that game something like Guess Who, where each person like draws a card, and then you're allowed to like give a statement to the other person or ask them something, and then you see whether like escalate or de-escalate. And each individual card has like traits where you talk about this that's bad, you talk about this that's good.
I'm not familiar with Guess Who, so.
Okay, so it's not really that much like Guess Who.
Okay, then guess who.
Like 20 questions?
The idea of thinking of is everyone just, you have a whole bunch of character cards, and each of them have traits like wants this, if you say this, they'll get upset, if you say this. It's not very fully fleshed out, but everyone just like randomly draws traits, and you take turns like speaking to each other, and then the patients either get like, and will respond, and either get like more angry or less.
So it's almost like your role is a collection of randomized traits or randomized behavioral rules.
Yeah.
Okay. So roles defined by randomized rules. Or those people in the Assassin's Guild are familiar with the Assassin's Guild, there's the concept of cyclops, things that you as an individual player are given at the beginning of the game as things that you can do or you can't do, or if you do something, you have to do it under some specific condition, psychological limitations, what they call it. It could be something as simple as you have to speak an accent all the time, or you have to live. It could be something more like every time you see blood, you have to run away because there's a phobia or something like that. It might be interesting to think of a collection of those things, and that perhaps how you behave. So this makes me think I should probably do the live action class at some point and talk about party games and role playing games. I think you have
any other hands? Oh, my hands are not quite.
Okay. Your hands are just up.
Right?
Just
up.
Another thing that a psychiatrist has to do when they're talking to a patient is to try to get the story out of them, like why they're upset. So you could have a game where the patient has, you know, some set of cards that has some sort of story with some keywords, and the doctor has to try to get these words out of him, but the patient himself doesn't fully know his story, so like it keeps on changing. You would keep modifying your story as you go by drawing cards and putting them away, and you can only really get the full picture once you get all the cards that the patient has in his hand.
Does the patient have all the cards?
The patient has his full story,
yeah.
But it keeps changing.
Oh,
on the fly.
Okay, so ever-changing story. And you want to kind of stay on top of entropy.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
This isn't a fully fleshed out idea, but as a mechanic, so there's a doctor and a patient, and the only communication is through cards.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor will like give the patient two cards, and then the third card is randomly inserted off of like a deck and shuffled in, and the patient receives all three.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the patient might be schizophrenic and imagining things, and they like get whatever the doctor's saying, but they also get like other random things as
mm-hmm.
noise.
So as a mechanic, that would be. That's hard to describe. The idea that you will be adding a randomized
element. So you get information that is both what the other person played and something random, and you can't distinguish which is which.
But you're trying to.
So you have a communication channel and you're adding random noise.
Yeah. So much for reading.
And
what is that? Yeah. I'm running out of space, so it's okay. Any other early kingdoms that are coming forward? That's creepy.
Love it.
Yeah.
We'll just listen to that.
Anyone else?
What were you talking about?
One concept I thought was interesting that I'm not really sure how to turn into a game immediately is the idea of the patient and basically the doctor or the rest of the world having two, at the moment, irreconcilable narratives,
mm-hmm.
and the goal of bringing those into some type of median in which the patient can, you know, comfortably exist with this narrative that's in line with the rest of the world.
Right. So the idea again of that narrative disruption is kind of why people get violent in the first place. And so maybe even taking out the question entirely of is this person going to act violently, but can you even work together with somebody to change how they see the world until it makes sense on both sides? Yeah.
So is that something I can't like actually figure a game for it right now? It be something like, okay, so you have the patients try to tell patient and doctor, and one person trying to portray a message to one person, the other person trying to portray a message to the other, but there's like something in the middle that's changing everything,
mm-hmm.
and so it's just trying to reconcile the difference, figure out the connection, or like the communication between each other.
So you kind of have a situation where you actually have three people playing,
mm-hmm.
and there's just some one person who's changing information
mm-hmm.
on
this
either some predictable or unpredictable way. Yeah.
Like maybe they have their own objective in mind.
Yeah.
So the two people in the end are trying to like figure out what the other one's saying, and the person in the middle is trying to has their own agenda.
Okay.
Maybe that's like the representing schizophrenia.
So then there's a noisy communication channel with an agenda. I like that. No, I mean that could be an algorithm. That could be a person. It could be a person running an algorithm in their head. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the noisy communication channel could represent the actual state of mind of the patient. That is the point, right? But I mean,
yeah.
And then depending upon again their level of arousal, it could change like how everything gets streamed into being like very combative, and so like everything the doctor says is.
So
taken as being somehow, yeah,
some sort of variable that's actually going to affect how they're going to to
whether they're taking a little of that.
This might, well, this would probably only work once the first time you play through. But again, what you conceal from the players or certain players themselves that what their goals are or what they believe to be true about the game state is in fact a delusion or not true. So you might tell them that it's about, this is a game set in 2100 when you've been wrongly imprisoned in a psychiatric ward and you must fight your way out or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a voice will guide you, whatever. But you don't tell that player that they're in fact playing a schizophrenic player who believes such these things. And then maybe you do some sort of live action role playing, you're not exactly sure. But a game which otherwise are forced to deal with this other guy who's convinced that this is what the game is about.
So it's like an unreliable. Yeah, I can write an unreliable scenario. The players don't know that going in, but if folks have seen the film The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, it's an old German expressionist white film. And I could spoil it. Does anyone care? It's the old 1920s.
Yes, spoilers, I think you're fine.
But the basic idea comes down to the hero of this sort of horror story is actually just a patient in the psychiatric ward. And everybody who he believes is part of this story that he's conquering is somebody else in the psychiatric ward. The big villain is actually the person running the ward.
Not
entirely unlike a lot of different stories, but similar idea of the maybe the information we've been given is not the thing that you trust in.
Something to go on like that would be, I guess, game mechanic part of that would be everyone's assigned a different role,
mm-hmm.
and one of those roles is patient, and so you don't know if you're the patient or not,
mm-hmm.
and so you're trying to do your objectives, and then as you play along, you realize. You may or start to realize things aren't actually as what they seem. So eventually you may figure out,
mm-hmm.
I'm actually the patient here.
Right, right. Who's trying to treat who? And they're almost like fighting for authority in that sense, possibly. Okay.
Going along with that, I think an interesting mechanic would be like the Battlestar Galactica Cylons method, where the person knows that they're a Cylon, but they can infiltrate by doing that voting system at the end. What is that? With the Destiny Pucks.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that someone's trying to sabotage you, but you don't know who.
Right. So, Prakash, how...
So
that's kind of who's the patient from a different way, right? It's like, one is, player knows who, at least one person knows.
They know.
And then the other one is, player needs to figure out whether they are it,
knows
like,
this.
Yeah.
Not nice.
Figures out.
This is just an interesting mechanic thing. So there was this, again, RPG called Wraith of the Oblivion that had this really interesting mechanic for handling the dark side that each player had, which might be kind of relevant in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, you had a different person who was also playing another protagonist, also play your antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would either talk to you and tell you things, or they would just directly control your character, like if you kind of fail the composure role.
Mm-hmm.
And taking the adversarial side of your character away from your control, kind of, it means that your character is more likely to behave in a really disruptive way, rather than just a controllably disruptive way, how it would be if you were had a vested interest in your character.
So opponent takes control of your character.
Yeah.
And that might work really well with some of the ideas earlier on. I did a good cop, bad cop idea on the Cybertron or in a group of people kind of thing, you know. It's control.
So actually going off of the like the audio idea of like someone is actually hearing voices, and this whole who is the patient thing, you could actually have things where you have one player is actually playing a patient who is schizophrenic, and another player is playing the voices in his head.
Mm-hmm.
So you but like they don't really know that. Like they're playing this scenario where, you know, they have some delusion that they're contracted or whatever. So like having like just have a person actually being the like as you were saying, like have an actual person be the dark side of the patient.
So but neither of them know who's the dark side.
Well, I mean the patient.
Like,
yeah, I mean you could have like
one way you could arbitrate this is you could say the patient player is able to just basically do as they please, but with there are rules which govern whether the dark side character can take over.
Yeah,
something like that. Or
so,
or
and
like
that means that the patient is kind of genuinely driven to try and reach a compromise, but they can just be overruled by dark side.
Yeah.
So.
And there could also be things where like it could be like more of a strong role playing thing where the voice is actually just trying to convince him that yes, this delusion is real.
So, but you still think you have a recorded thing, or actually two different?
You can actually have two people just actually standing there talking to each other.
Okay, so two people playing one character.
Yeah. It would potentially require a lot of suspension of disbelief on the part of the person playing the psychiatrist.
It might be one of those things that's easier to mediate by having people talk to the screen or something like that, you know, or even a microphone and a speaker kind of thing. It could be a game where you can play on a phone.
Yeah.
I've not seen many games that are designed specifically to play with phones, but you have an option.
I definitely like that idea, and I think it could work well with a card game as well if you have two players sharing the same hand, and the player who actually gets to play the cards from the hand is whoever is in control of the patient. And so as things as the state basically changes depending on what the doctor does, different players become in control of the patient's hand.
So it seems like we actually have a lot of different options on how we could mechanic somebody who's mentally unstable, and a bunch of ideas of how that state switch could happen, or what moves make up and over. So that's pretty cool, and that's not mutually exclusive from any other ideas specifically about a patient and a doctor, right? So we're talking about what happens to the patient. These are the rules that a patient could be operating under. The doctor could have a different set of rules. All rules.
I was reading about this, and I think that it turns out most violence in psychiatric wards happens to the patients themselves,
mm-hmm.
or to other patients by patients,
mm-hmm.
much more than it actually happens towards practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just noticing that not any of our ideas addressed any of those issues.
Ward management maybe gets a little closer.
Yeah, people can start turning on themselves.
So
I was just thinking sort of another possible way that you could apply a lot of these role playing, multiple role or auditory mechanics is to a situation. We should probably do research in what situations lead to patients coming in contact with each other and then the encounter turning violent,
mm-hmm.
and then perhaps just having all players be patients that have various different mental disorders, and just to help you understand in the as a patient what kinds of behaviors and situations would lead you to going violent on someone else.
Right.
Just sort of one of those like be in someone else's shoes helps you understand the situation better.
Right. So just putting them putting them in an environment where everything that is necessary for a real character, for a certain character to become upset and violent, and then just seeing how that naturally occurs without necessarily saying, and now you want to check. Okay.
A game of persuasion that's a cross between like BS and Uno. So you have two doctors who are trying to get rid of cards in their hand, and then the patient wants a certain set of cards, and he's saying, I'm looking for John. And the two doctors pull out a card, they say, oh, this is John. or they can be like, this is a job, but I can help you out later.
Oh, so this is that almost seems like an educate, intended to teach people not to lie.
Yes, yes. Yes.
So I'm going to say yes. It's almost like yes, no, fish.
Yeah.
The honest. The honesty game. That's really interesting.
So, we've got a pretty good pile here. A lot of these can obviously be combined, and there's no reason why multiple groups couldn't attempt to do similar topics. In fact, you could take exactly the same set, and I'm pretty sure two different groups are going to come up with different games anyway. So, that's fine. Again, a lot of things that could probably be easier done live action, or at least easier to prototype live action. The folks who were here on Monday, they are actually focused mostly on trying to see what could be moved out to more people, more resident trainees in the future. Your games don't necessarily need to do that, but you might want to keep that in mind. This assignment is game for a client after all, and you know, if you manage to address that need of the, you know, here's something that doesn't require one person from the original GM team to do it. And you can imagine, like, you know, the acting exercise that they ran through, you know, Dion's particularly talented and improvising on his feet, but, you know, requires you know, people and requires resources that not necessarily every training environment is going to have. Right, it's something that can be turned into a fairly understandable set of rules, or using technologies that are fairly accessible. You know, if you're going to play your voice in someone's ear, it's going to be a lot easier if that was using something recorded or something like a phone, as opposed to walkie-talkies.
Oh, that could be fascinating if it was a phone conversation actually going, like, so if it's live and people are different rooms and actually talking to each other over the phone or over Skype or something like that, but you're talking to someone, you have a phone up, so then the other person can hear what you're saying and be the evil voice, like, so, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is that you don't even need to do it on Skype, right? You just get two cell phones with hands-free sets.
Right, yeah.
And now the technology just becomes that much easier for the end users to use two phones and two headsets. That's almost
I mean, or you could make it that, like, for some game that two people are playing, that the two groups are playing the same game, but they both hear the other group, like, this group would hear the other groups playing the game. So it's not even just like a random conversation, it's like they're playing the same game you're playing, but you're hearing the other group playing the game, so you get confused.
Wow.
Wow.
That's deep.
I would say two groups eavesdropping the same game.
So I just wanted to say that I think the thing which is really hard if you're working with people who like don't really want to do a role playing thing, mm-hmm. is like building the level of emotional intensity and the fear of violence, which is kind of the point of the training. Like, you want to be able to deal with that kind of emotional stress on your feet.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, because I don't have any good ideas, if anyone could think of something which works out.
Which can, like, genuinely create a situation where one could be afraid of violence.
Yeah. Without somebody having to threaten another person.
Yeah, outside of tasers, I don't think you're going to be able to
shock collar on. Well, if one player's role is actually not to understand but to provide the experience for the other, and they're hearing a recording that is giving them cues as to what to do, and one of their cues is eventually like, and no player's not briefing this, and one of their cues is like, and now, you know, grabbing the player by the shoulders and like shake them violently and say, you know, say something, you could possibly create a situation where you're like, whoa, you know.
But the problem is you have to be able to get somebody who can do that without like cracking up in the middle of it, because like people do that when they're nervous and uncomfortable. So you pretty much be reduced to finding professional actors,
and that's a limited resource that like puts a limitation on how widespread your game.
Even people who will take role playing seriously.
Yeah.
Resource. You have your hand up.
I had a thought where you have like it's a patient interaction, so you have two people in different rooms on the phone with each other, trying to negotiate something. I don't know what it would be, and have two other people in each of their rooms that are like talking in their ear and trying to distract them from the conversation.
Okay, so patient talking to patient. Maybe it can be something like
they're trying to negotiate medicine or pills.
With voices in person. Yeah.
Yeah.
With voices. There is a specifically an article on schizophrenia that I uploaded, I think, only last night. So if anybody is actually going to do something on schizophrenia, you might want to check it out. I think Patrick was from the show.
So I was thinking something along the lines of like Battleship, if you have like a doctor player and a patient player, and they're both looking at this their own version of the same board,
mm-hmm.
and if the patient wants to get from one end to the other, and the doctor has to allow whether or not they can make their move,
mm-hmm.
but on the doctor's board they have like different obstacles, and so then like the patient will say, I want to move from here to here, and the doctor says, I can't let you do that, I can let you go from here to here. It'd be a game about compromise.
Okay, so sort of okay, Tom. Doctor mediated movement. Okay. One card movement. And the battleship analogy is good to help us remember where the idea came from. Cool. Michelle?
Yeah. To address something that Owen said about the trying to simulate fear. I mean, if you can add time pressure to any game, then I think that strong of a stress situation. It could kind of almost be fear. It could be just whether anything.
Because what you're really going for is stress.
Yeah.
You're going to make decisions.
Fallen Green stress. That occurred to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
was real time anyways.
Yeah.
So kind of like an idea of how to take the doctor-mediated board movement into the real world is that you could have, we're talking about these like phone-to-phone conversations, you could have the patient is like in a room, but he's blindfolded,
mm-hmm.
and like he's trying to like move through the room like towards an exit in the room or something, and the doctor has like some limited information about the room and has to like help him like navigate through the room, and he'll say like, I want to move, you know, forward, and he's like, well, I can't really let you do that because there's a pit full of spikes in front of you, so you wouldn't necessarily actually have a real pit full of spikes in front of them, but like that kind of thing where you're trying to like gather information and help him through this. And you could put time pressure on it and say, like, well, you know, I have to make a decision now because he wants to move now,
right.
but I might, like, accidentally move him into an obstacle and, like, have to deal with that.
Or you could have a thing where, oh, even combining it with some things, that there are things that the patient needs to do that the patient can talk about. And, you know, it might be something like the patient has to move every 10 seconds. Only the patient knows this, the doctor doesn't.
A patient has a fear of moving to the left.
Or something like that.
But
yeah,
things like that.
Patient has moved left, right.
And I think
right.
it also emphasizes the thing that they were talking about on Monday, and that you are both trying to not, like, if it gets to the, escalates to the point where violence happens,
mm-hmm.
you're both trying to not let yourself get hurt, but you're also trying to not hurt them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think incorporating this in some way would be cool.
Definitely, a lot of these ideas are sort of like mechanicking the patient's limitations are really, really cool. But again, remember the audience is the resident, so understanding what the patient is going through is useful, but also understanding what, thinking of rules that help a resident understand what they can do is also really important. So don't just think about throwing tons of limitations on them without also giving them abilities. Things that they can actively do, verbs that they can actually carry out. Yeah.
So, roofing off the time pressure thing, I think that it might make sense for these kinds of escalation, negotiation type situations, for the person who is controlling the patient to kind of know what their triggers are, and every time like a bad thing is said, then they just reduce the amount of time that the doctor has to deal with them. And like, and they say that. Okay, they just say like minus 10 seconds, and like, and the, they have a timer and it ticks down to reach the conclusion of getting the doctor getting them to where they want to be. And so rather than like raising their voice or being physically in some way, they just like adjust the timer.
Yeah.
And when it gets down to zero, it's all good.
Yeah. I can see it. I wrote on trigger is equal to reduce time available. Actually, I told you equals. Okay.
Just to say that one way you can make your players feel pressure is to give them a really flat goal hierarchy, right? So a good example is Missile Command. Does everyone know that game? So Missile Command is you have like six cities and there's missiles coming and you have to shoot them all down. And each city is equally valuable. So if you lose one, you're in a drastically reduced position. Whereas games that tend to have like a more structured goal hierarchy will have like, basically means you can afford a loss, right? So like chess is a good example. You say, okay, I can afford to lose this. Whereas a Missile Command, you can't afford to lose anything. So by really capping, you know, what the player has and what they can afford to lose, and then making sure that, you know, all of their goals are equal value, that means that every loss and every failure is felt much more strongly. And I felt like, at least, Dion, when you were doing your the role play, there was this sense, especially coming from Caesar, that, you know, any one thing that goes wrong is really bad, right?
Yeah.
There's like a really thin line there.
I mean, that's especially applicable when you're talking about the doctor's goals, not necessarily the patient's goals.
Yeah, yeah, from the doctor's position, right, there's, you can't really afford a lot of mistakes in these situations.
I'm kind of the guest, but I was listening to what you're saying, and I have a thought on how you could combine lots of these different ideas. I'm envisioning a game where there would be two types of players, like you were mentioning, doctors and patients, and there would be one doctor and multiple patients. It would be a turn-based game where you'd go around, give each person a turn. The doctor would always be in a relationship with each individual one, and limited vocabulary I thought was important, taking that from a couple of the ideas. The patient and the doctor each have their own set of vocabularies, and the clash of that would introduce some a mechanic there, where the patient has their own vocabulary describing to the doctor what they like, what they don't like. They know what they like, they don't like. You could abstract it to describe maybe anything that the doctor would have in their vocabulary. So, as one example, the doctor could give the patient a card with a shape or some item on it. And the item has attributes like color, shape, something that somebody could like or dislike. In their list, they would look at this and see one of these things clashes with something in my list of dislikes. I don't like that card. I'm going to escalate my my anger, my displeasure with the situation. And so the doctor has a limited amount of time to deal with each patient. As the patient's escalation increases, they have less and less time to be dealt with. After a certain point, the doctor loses that patient, so you have that loss brought in. And then after all the patients have been lost, the game is over. The way that it would be won is that the doctor is discovering the profile of each patient, because they are trying to, like in a normal setting, in a real life setting, you're trying to discover the profile that allows the doctor to deal with the patient in the best possible way so that they aren't violent. And yet,
so that seems to play off the patient and doctor have different rules and goals and triggers. You know, you've got a situation where in what you were suggesting, you have one doctor and multiple patients, which is accurate. I'm not quite sure that they'd be dealing with them simultaneously, but that might not matter for the purposes of the strategy. It might be kind of like those improv games where you manage to figure out if you manage to figure out before time runs out what a person's profile is, that could be the win condition. So it's an equal win if you manage to succeed, the evil loss if you don't manage to get it by time pressure, combine it with something like the give a trigger and reduce the amount of time you have available, number of turns available, it doesn't have to be real time. So you can produce it with multiple patients. So like that doesn't even necessarily have to deal with talking about actual psychiatric warrant situations. That could be something like, you know, objects and colors, right? You know, it's more of a guessing game. But that might be too abstract, possibly, because in the end, you kind of still want people to be able to tie it back to the experience of, to be able to make an easy connection with what it's like to be a resident or what's going to be like to be a resident. This is where the theme needs to be pretty clear. But then, like Clara talked, you know, theme is not meaning. The meaning is also not tied pretty well with your game mechanics. That's just something to keep in mind. So we've got about another half an hour plus. I think the plan was just to let everyone kind of like figure out what teams you wanted to be in. You know, this is kind of pre-class time to talk with each other and see if there's stuff in here that people were really psyched about. I mean, is there anyone in this class that's already like, you know, this is something I really want to do?
Well, my preference is towards the ward management.
Okay, so
the ward management.
I don't really have a plan.
I'd be interested in voices and hidden information. So, fooling players in that results in them behaving in erratic ways, as from the point of view of other players, and then from the point of view of the player who's behaving erratically, other players are behaving erratically because it's not fitting in with what they think is actually going on, or voices, or both, or something like that.
So that's kind of the general territory that you are interested in. Anyone who wants to.
I'm very interested in the escalation, de-escalation by hidden keywords.
I like basically hidden rules, goals, and keywords, and two different players playing the same character. So two mechanics I really like.
Okay, well, we have a couple of seats out there, and you know, the caffeine helps us a bunch in the. what do we have on Friday?
Friday we mostly just had brainstorming and team building schedule. I mean, I think that time is pretty flexible.
So what I can do maybe, if folks can plan to come into Wednesday with the team, then what I might do is I might move my
meet Friday.
You mean Friday?
Meet Friday.
Sorry, Friday. Yeah. Then I'll move my live action talk up to Friday instead. So Wednesday we can just call it. It seems like a lot of people are going in that direction. Again, you don't have to do a live action game, but it's one of my favorite memes, so.